Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, it is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here today. It's Monday afternoon, but it's the same show. We're going to be talking fantasy baseball. We're going to be talking baseball. We're going to be talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. Tim and I were unable to make it Sunday evening. The show always gets published on Monday morning. Tim was out. I was out. We decided, hey, let's do it on here Monday afternoon. It's a bit of a short show, but we think it's a good show. I've got a bunch of questions I've got for Tim just on guys. Are these guys really for real? Are we seeing what we're really seeing? So we're going to talk about that. Tim, we're going to go through Tim's waiver wire short, but very, very sweet. And, of course, we're going to talk about some news and notes of the week. Hopefully Tim will be on here in a minute. We had a little trouble getting started the first time, so we're doing it again, as they would say. Guys, if you want to support the show, you can do that a bunch of different ways. You can go out on iTunes and leave us a review. We appreciate those reviews. Or you could go out to prospect361.com, where both Tim and I write. You can visit our sponsors, Amazon.com, StubHub, MLB Shops, and Steiner Sports. Simply go there, click those links on. And when you go, we have what's called affiliated marketing. We get a little commission whenever you buy something. So if you want to go out and buy some Amazon stuff, just go through Prospect 361 and do that. The same for StubHub, MLB Shops, and Steiner Sports. We really, really appreciate that. Without further ado, let me bring on the great Tim McLeod. Timmy, how are you?
Not bad, Rich, but I think I've figured out what the problem is, and I don't think there's anything I can do about it except maybe traveling in by phone if this continues to pick up. Bad storm here last night. There's trees down all over the place, and I have a feeling it's making a mess of the internet. All down in Florida.
Yeah, it sounds you're breaking up terribly. So if you could call in, Timmy, if that's possible, that would be great. And I'll
like dinner.
All right, I will wait for the great Tim McLeod as he comes and does that. And I'm off to baseball game this evening. That's why we didn't do it. We're going off to see my final Charlotte game of the year. I don't know who actually they're playing. So I live here in Charlotte and season tickets to the AAA team and also season tickets to the Kannapolis, which is the White Sox low A team. I've already seen Nick Mandrill. I'm going to go see him again one or two more times this week. They're in town for their final series wrap up. I got to tell you, Nick Mandrill, a kid who was drafted by the White Sox with the fifth pick. I'm going through memory on that and just looks really, really good. Some really good speed. Nice little second baseman. I think he's going to be a good one. Timmy, you back?
Yeah. Am I sounding a little bit better, Rich?
You sound perfect, Tim.
Wow. Charming, maybe, but I'm far from perfect, Rich.
So, Tim, have you had a good week? How are your teams hanging in there?
Barely, Rich, but I got Mike Trout back. And I think I got Erod back for the end of the week. And I'm starting to get some guys, my walking wounded back. So I'm looking forward to that final push, Rich. Things are better.
So how and it's Tout Wars you're trailing. But last I remember in Labor, you were winning. How's that going?
The lead is down to two. I need my walking wounded back and badly, but hopefully Mike Trout's going to make a difference in September. Missing him for almost a full month really hurt, Rich. How's things with your teams? You still plugging
terrible.
Away?
Terrible. Terrible. I mean, I got a chance to be in the money in one league, and everybody, I'm on all these dynasty leagues, Timmy, and they've all just,
yeah,
they're good teams, but everybody's hurt, and Well, one team is terrible, but I knew that. But the other teams, I just don't get it. I mean, I've got to change these rules, Timmy. We can't have, you know, limited number of DLs. I know we've talked about it ad nauseum. I mean, when you're in a dynasty league, it is it's just not fair. It's really who's got the healthiest team has a chance to win, and that's not the way it should be.
No, I agree. There's got to be some sort of result on that one, especially, like you said, in dynasty formats. But, yeah, you take a look at my labor team, and, you know, for the month of, what, July and August, you know, you're missing Erod. You're missing Carlos Martinez, okay? You're missing Steven Strasburg. And then Trevor Bauer hits the DL. It's no wonder that that I'm struggling, and everybody who owns those players is doing exactly the same thing. Lots of struggling, and anything that allows players to continue to play the game, I think, is very, very important, Rich. And I think it's something that, like you said, all dynasty leagues are going to have to address this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, look, injuries are part of the equation, right? And labor, you know, you got stuck. I mean, who would have thought Mike Trout would have gone out and all those number of pitchers? But at least you were able to play other players in their place. But when you're in a dynasty league,
right,
and you're supposed to be keeping players from year to year, and you've got your entire DL spot full of people and your entire bench full of guys on the DL, and you're playing people in positions that are on the DL, I mean, it just is ridiculous. You know, that's not the way I don't think we designed this game to be played.
Well, no, the idea of the game is to actually play it. And, you know, in a dynasty league, you can't cut Carlos Martinez. You can't cut Trevor Bauer. You know, those players, you hold on to them. They tie up your reserves and subsequently don't allow you to pick up the Wei-Yin Chens and Jaime Berrios of the world. And, hey, they're not great answers, but at least they're an answer.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to determine if I'm just being sour grapes here, Timmy, but because it just seems like that's my team. And the DL1 has got only three DL slots. I'm no longer commissioner of that league. I turned that over,
yeah,
put it into the wild. And, man, with three DL slots, that's just brutal. I mean, that's got to be changed. And I'm thinking either unlimited or you just jack it up to, you know, 10 or 12 or something like that and just call it a day, because something's got to give.
Well, and you know what, when you take and you incorporate the 10-day DL into that situation, it only magnifies it, because let's face it, as hard as it is to believe, some teams, they're actually using that to roster manage, and we can't have that same luxury in our game.
Yes, I think we have to address that, and I think we've got to, you know, kind of adapt to what the major league teams are doing, because you're right. I mean, The Dodgers started that out, and everybody else seems to be adapting it. But it does seem, doesn't it, Timmy, that more guys are just injured, I mean, like really hurt over the last couple of years? And I don't know what's happened, but it just seems – it's just been brutal these last 2 years with injuries.
I think it's a combination of factors, Rich. I think – and, again, I haven't done a study to see how – you know, the number of players injured, serious injuries, you know, the past 2 years going back to 3-4. But I think it's a compounding effect. By reducing the DL to 10, it makes it a little bit easier to DL some of these players. And I think it's a combination of both, and the overall impact is showing up as being rather significant.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we've got a good show, but it's a short show. We're trying to get out of here in about an hour, so I'm going to just get started, if you don't mind.
Sounds like a plan to me, Rich. I just got out of the car, had a nice weekend in Thunder Bay with the grandkids, grand dogs, and I'm ready to roll.
Okay. So, Timmy, did you see my video of me riding on a inner tube in the water?
Yeah, I saw that. rather impressive, Rich. I actually tried that once on an air mattress. Don't try it, Rich.
So I was at a lake house. I mean, friends of ours have just a beautiful home on Lake Anna, which is in Virginia, which took a long time to get there. It's only one state away, but I was on the car forever. And man, the guy was really into his water sports and his boat, and he wanted me to ski and do this. I'm like, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to sit and like have a drink and talk. Can't we just do that on the dock? No, we got to go out and do extreme sports. So he finally got me on this inner tube, Timmy. And I don't know, the boat was going, it wasn't going that fast. I think it was going 18 miles an hour. It seemed like it was going a million miles an hour. And man, that thing was flapping around and flying around. It's like, oh dear God, I can't wait to get off this thing. So, but that's what I did on Saturday.
But that sounds like fun, Rich. I got suckered into the air mattress thing, eh? And everybody was laughing except for me, because what happens is you get on it and the boat starts going, right? And everything is fine. But because you're holding on to a tow rope, the air mattress, you watch it, and it slowly sort of moves forward. And then eventually the front of it hits the water. And then you do like half a dozen endos, and it's just ugly. Don't ever try an air mattress.
I actually thought you were making that up, Timmy. I thought that was a joke. I mean, so that was – it was because I'm kind of on an air mattress, but I got handles and had handles to hold on, and you didn't have any of that, huh?
All I had was a tow rope. And I'll tell you, when the front of that air mattress touched down on the water, it was a joke, Rich, but it was on me, and I got to see my life flash before my eyes. Granted, I was only in my 30s at the time, and I was probably half liquored, but it's not something I'd want to repeat.
Timmy, honestly, and I mean no disrespect, it feels like hillbilly living out on the lake, man. you're in an air mattress with a tow rope on. Like, come on. I mean, it's deliverance can't be that far away. So.
Well, all I know is as I was doing end-over-end flips, I did hear some banjo in the background.
Oh, my word. I got to tell you, the best part about the weekend, Timmy, we went off to dinner on the boat, maybe for 2 or 3 miles away, and we just took a slow ride back. And it was a perfectly clear evening. You could see all the stars. It was fantastic. I mean, that was the best part. I don't know why everybody's got to ride fast on boats. Why can't you just, like, go slow on the boat and enjoy all the surroundings? That's what I was trying to figure out. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, quite a bit of it happens here because there's some really, really nice restaurants on the American side. So what people do is they just hop in their boat and scoot across and park their boat, go for supper, call in at customs and report, and then cruise home. So, yeah, I agree. And I think it's got something to do with age, too, Rich. As you approach it, a little bit of an older age, all of a sudden the idea of going 75 miles an hour on a lake isn't really all that impressive. You know, it's more terrifying, right?
Yeah, you see all those jet skiers, Timmy. I was like what are you doing? Like, you're going to kill yourself out there. I did like the kayaking. I do like the kayaking. But, man, those jet skiers, man, I don't know how everybody doesn't die on those things. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it's not my idea of FUN, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, in our beach house, so we're right on the Intercoastal Waterway, and we see guys jet skis going all over the place and coming into, you know, into our docks, and I don't get this. But anyway, Timmy, we digress. I've got a bunch of questions I got for you. This is just I call it, huh? Can you help me with this? Because some of these players, Timmy, I'm really twisted on here. I got six guys, and then of course Jose Altuve. Clay Buchholz, Timmy, he's 34 years old. He looks really, really good. He's going to win some people leagues. I mean, particularly those in head-to-head leagues, if we get into the playoffs and he continues to do what he's doing. He's 2.25 ERA and 13 starts. He's not striking out a ton of guys, but it's respectable, 7.6. He's only walking 1.8. His FIP is also 3.39, so you can see some correction. But this isn't like, you know, a guy that's getting really, really lucky. He's pitching well, and everything looks like he should be pitching well. Is this guy finally relevant again?
No, Rich. Hey, you know what? You know what they say about the blind squirrel finding an acorn? Okay, Clay has found an acorn. His velocity's down. Okay, there is nothing to indicate other than the fact that he's on a tear right now. That there's nothing, at least to me, to indicate that. We should be rushing right out in dynasty leagues and rostering this guy. Hey, it's a streak. He's doing well. Take advantage of it. Run with it. But I'm not moving him up a whole heck of a lot in my rankings for next year, Rich.
Yeah, so he'll be one of those sucker picks, Timmy, because, I mean, if he has three or four more good starts, I mean, it's going to be, he's going to stick out like a sore thumb, and he's going to sucker some people because he's got name recognition as well. And you're saying, don't do that.
No, I've never done well hitchhiking with a sore thumb, Rich. I'm going to stay away from buckles.
But obviously, if you got him rostered now, Tim, you run him until he turns into clay buckles again.
Well, yeah, take advantage of it. It's each and every year we see players that go off and seriously outperform what we anticipate, and vice versa. And right now, Buchholz is getting it done. If you got him rostered, hey, congratulations to you. Take advantage of it.
Max Muncy, Jimmy, 22 home runs in the first half. He batted .271. We've talked about him a lot. And, you know, I wrote him up years ago as a guy. I really liked him in high A. He was out in the California League. I saw him in San Jose, and I really liked the player. And then he just completely disappeared. I forgot about him. All of a sudden, he pops up this year with the Dodgers and really carried them for the first half. And, you know, he goes to the home run derby, and now he's still hitting home runs. He's got 7 home runs in the second half, but his strikeout rate has jumped to 37%. His average is down to .232. I guess I ask the question, is the bloom off the rose? I mean, just for this year, the rest of this year, is he a no-thinking start still in the outfield, first base, or wherever you play him? Or are you actually thinking, is this guy any good for the rest of the year?
Well, you know, he's hit 3 homers in the past 10 games. And I think the biggest problem with Muncy is the fact that the Dodgers went out and got Brian Dozier. And that has really made a mess of things as far as Muncy is concerned. You know, Dozier in the second half has 3 homers and a .686 OPS. Muncy still has an .883 OPS in the second half, but he's sort of being jerked around. They've got to play Dozier at second base, so that eliminates some options for Muncy and has pushed him to the bench. And I don't know if Muncy should be on the bench or maybe Dozier. And I think that's the gist of the problem. I don't see Muncy as being a 35 home run type next year. But, you know, 883 ops in the second half, and it's considered a down half. That's not too shabby. Dozier will be fine. So hopefully, you know, a little more definition of where he's going to play next year will definitely be a big part of where I end up ranking him eventually.
So I think he still plays, or he should be controlled by the Dodgers, or was he a free agent? Did he sign as a free agent? I mean, clearly hasn't played that long in the major leagues, but he could have been an unrestricted free agent just because they got cut everywhere. So that might mean he can play wherever he wants. Is that what you're referring to, or will he get a position at Los Angeles?
Well, they called him up. He's on a minor league deal or whatever. They own Muncy forever, I think, Rich. So what I was referring to is an actual position with the team. And, you know, if Dozier's gone, they move Taylor to center field. Muncy's got some second base ops that way. He can play first base. I think the key that has hurt him the most in the second half was the Dodgers going out and getting Brian Dozier, and Dozier hasn't, in fact, helped them.
Yeah, I definitely got that part. I was just trying to figure out is he Chris Taylor, speaking of another Dodger? Is he Chris Taylor? Remember how good Chris Taylor was last year, Timmy? Yeah. I won a league with Chris Taylor on my team, and it was a big part. I mean,
yep.
You always have those guys, and Chris Taylor turned back into Chris Taylor this year. Is Max Muncy turned back into, you know, a .210 batting average guy with 15 home runs, or, you know, is this a guy that actually might be able to contribute, assuming he gets some playing time?
I think it boils down to the playing time, and if the playing time is there, I still like his ability to contribute. I haven't written Muncy off moving forward. I think if anybody writes Muncy off, it'll be the Dodgers, and it'll be based on what they do at second base, first base, you know, center field, how they determine they want to build their roster next year. But, you know, in one game last week, they had Muncy in the leadoff role. And I believe he walked, single, drove a run in. He's still sporting an OBP, I think, of .370 something on the year, even with the four second half. So
he's always been fairly have a lot of plate patience. So yeah, it's funny. I looked at Cott's contract. He's nowhere to be found, Timmy. So he's on a minor league contract, which is what you said. I think it's a minor league. I think he's a minor league free agent, though. I think he might be a free agent next year. I don't know if he's got that team control, because I think he was cut everywhere, and like he was cut by the A's and wherever else he went, and nobody wanted him, and you know they fished him out of, you know, free agency and started playing him.
Yeah, you know what? If Muncy has full time at bats next year, he definitely interests me. And I like what's happening in the second half based on that, because I think he might be undervalued.
I watched Luis Severino pitch last night, Timmy. And it was the Orioles. He looked pretty good in the first few innings, and then it just was bad. Is the slide over? I mean, I take a look at the stats, and it looks like his ERA is now caught up to his FIP, which was, we talked about that correcting. He's still striking out over 10 per 9. He's walking 2.2 per 9. Is this a guy that the Yankees can count on down the stretch? Is he going to start that play-in game and perform better? Remember last year when he went up against the Twins, he was brutal. He didn't get out of the first inning, I don't believe. Somehow they came back and won. Is Luis Severino going to be the stud that we've seen images of him and the likes of him on some of the games, particularly early in the season? Or is this a guy the Yankees just can't count on yet?
I think a lot will be determined over the next couple of starts, Rich. It's hard to pass up on that strikeout rate. The only thing I can say is getting into the play-in game, you know, hey, the leash will be short. It'll be incredibly short. It doesn't matter who starts that play-in game. The leash will be short. You know, any struggles in the first inning, and the Yankees will go to that bullpen right away, and Chapman will be back by then, and things should be good. So I think odds are still in his favor that he starts that game, but I think the leash will be very short.
I love talking about next year, Timmy, particularly as my teams suck. And I'm assuming a lot of people listening to us, their teams suck as well. Top 10 pitcher, top 15 pitcher, or you're not going to draft them next year?
Probably top 15. And as far as drafting him, yeah, it depends on where he sits. If he's in the 10 to 15 range, yeah, you got to love that strikeout potential. Top 10, I'm not quite so sure, Rich.
I think he's leading the league, too, in wins, right? 17 wins, I think his 17th win last night. So, I mean, plays on a good team. So if you're in a league that counts wins, that's a good thing, too.
Well, yeah. He's no Rick Porcello, but, yeah, he's getting his fair share of wins.
He went up against Dylan Bundy last evening. I mean, and Dylan Bundy, I mean, I tweeted this out. I mean, Dylan Bundy, when I saw him in low A before he got hurt, and he was sitting 96 miles an hour. He was tapping out at 97, 98. And last night, he was hitting 90. He was scraping up against 93. And he was really sitting 91 and 92, but he was sitting in the upper register of the strike zone. And just, I mean, he can't be successful there. He's just getting killed. He's only 6 feet one, and yeah, he's got pretty good secondary pitches. But, Timmy, this just looks like a disaster to me. This looks like a guy that you can't roster in a fantasy league anymore. Mr. McLeod, are you there? Tim? Earth to Tim. Tim, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep. You probably didn't hear my question on Dylan Bundy, did you?
Yeah, I heard most of it, but I had to dial back in. Blog Talk booted me, Rich. So
okay.
You know, as far as Dylan Bundy is concerned, remember for years, okay, I always used to joke about, you know, I'd rather have Al.
Yeah.
Al Bundy, yeah. It's at the stage now where I'd rather have Peg, okay?
Yeah, that was funny. Somebody tweeted at me after I wrote my tweet that they'd rather have Ted Bundy as well. So that's pretty funny. Yeah, it's just brutal, Timmy. I mean, everything points to this is he had his, you know, half a season last year, and he's just not the same player that he was before he had all the injuries. And I don't know, Timmy, you hope for the bounce back, but it's not good.
Well, you know, he's 25, okay? So it's pretty hard to permanently, per se, write him off. You know, I'll take a chance on him next year as my 7th-8 starter. But, you know, you can understand, okay, getting beat up by the Yankees, okay, or the Red Sox, okay? You know, they're good teams, okay? But in his past 10 games, he's gotten beat up by the Jays twice, the Mets, and Minnesota. Those aren't good teams. You know, there's a problem, and I don't know if it's resolvable, but I'm not going to pay anything for him. If he's sitting there at the bottom of the pile still and I'm looking at filling my bench slots, yeah, well, sure, I'll pick him up. But as far as an investment, definitely not.
Yeah, man, I take a look at David Price, and David Price never lost his stuff, man. He still was throwing hard. And what the Red Sox did is they moved him to the first base side, and all of a sudden magic happened, right? So he got a little bit different angle, and you know, so you move Dylan Bundy around the rubber, it's not going to make a difference. His fastball is still sitting 92 miles an hour, and it's just not going to get a cut in today's game. And that's what worries me about guys like, I mean, Dylan Bundy and guys like him. I mean, we're seeing the same thing with Lucas Giolito. I mean, the fastball velocity is just not there, and they're still pitching like they can really bring him. I think that's a real problem.
Well, yeah. The only thing I do admire, Rich, is the fact that he hasn't been hit by any line drives this year. His ability to duck is phenomenal. It really is.
Let's talk about his former teammate, Kevin Gausman. He was 4.43 ERA and 21 starts with the Orioles. He gets traded to the Braves, 4 starts with the Braves. He's 3-1. He's got a 2 ERA. But before we get too excited, Timmy, 17 strikeouts and 27 innings, a 5.6 strikeout rate. Is Kevin Gausman better, or is he just getting lucky? How is it going to end this year?
Well, I don't think he's as good as what we're seeing, and he's neither as bad as what he was. I think it settles in somewhere in the middle ground. And, you know, as number 4 next year, yeah, he interests me. But am I going to pay for what I've seen in a small sample size in Atlanta? No, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to pay for him at all, Timmy. I'm not sure I like the pitcher. That curveball never developed. And I like him out of Baltimore for sure, if nothing else, because I think the Baltimore organization is terrible. They haven't developed a pitcher in a long, long time. And so I like that. But, yeah, he's not a 2 ERA guy. I don't know what a FIP is. I didn't check. But we had a 5.6 strikeout rate, Timmy. That's not going to cut it.
No, that's getting to be on the edge, especially with the fact that he's pitching to pitchers. So he's going to see at least 2 of those start, right? They should be pretty close to automatic strikeouts, right?
That's a fair point, Timmy. Yep, you're right. Let's talk about your buddy Ozzie Albies staying in Atlanta. All right, he had 20 home runs in the first half. He's hit 1
right
so far in the second half. He's only got 12 stolen bases for the year. I don't even know who this guy is, Timmy. He's not a power guy. Is he a speed guy?
No.
Who is he?
Right now, he's a young player in the process of adjusting who I believe isn't healthy. He's been dealing with hammy issues off and on for the past month and a half, and I think that's really affected his game. I see Albies as the person that I saw him coming into this season. 15 home runs, 30 stolen bases, decent on-base skills. But right now I think he's hurt, he's beat up, and I'm actually benching him this week in labor, Rich. I need to see something before I keep him active, and what I've seen over the past 6 weeks is not good.
No, it's not good at all. I think the 15, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know if I can argue with you, because you could be right, but 30 stolen bases, he's not looked like that guy this year. I don't even know if 15 home runs is legitimate, but maybe it is. He's already hit 21. He's a guy, Timmy, that scares me to death. If he's sitting at the top of the queue and I need a second baseman next year, he scares me to death.
Well, I'm giving him a mulligan a little bit for the speed, Rich, simply because of those hamstring issues. And I think that's affected his running game. And hopefully he can put those behind him and move forward. He's definitely going to be a controversial pick, and one is going to have to think fairly long and hard about when they look at filling their middle infield next year.
Yeah, I think second base is going to be fairly deep, and you know, I think Jonathan Scope's going to go way after Ozzie Albies, and again, Jonathan Scope gives you no stolen bases at all, but I think Scope finally got out of his funk, got traded. He's been in a funk since he's been in Milwaukee. I think there's goodness still with Jonathan Scope, so he'd be a guy, if I got some speed at shortstop in the outfield, a guy I would be targeting for second base. And again, Albies has got, he's got fantasy goodness written all over him. It's just, I just don't know who the guy is.
Well, yeah, you know what? If I'm looking at Albies in the 6th, 7th round, yeah, I've got interest. If I'm looking much before that, no, I think there might be some other options there, or even later on, that might sort of catch my fancy.
Speaking of another second baseman, we talked about the Astros last week, Timmy. I mean, are they in big trouble? They get Jose Altuve back, and they go 5-0. I mean, is he that important to that organization? Is he's really he feels like he's just the heart and soul of that team. I know he's a current reigning MVP. It's a stupid thing to say, but Carlos Correa hasn't come back well from his injuries. He's batting .250 now, I think. It's just not been good, and Springer's not been the same guy, and it's Jose Altuve who's just been the guy, and they're a different team with him back in that lineup.
Well, yeah, definitely they are, Rich. And, you know, I don't think, you know, hey, every team goes through peaks and valleys. It doesn't matter how good the team is. Boston's doing it right now. I think they've lost, what, 5 or 6 in a row. They lost, you know, they were swept against the Rays. And it's just part of the game. Sometimes sometimes you're on that high pinnacle. Other times you struggle a little bit, and definitely Altuve makes a big difference. But I don't think Houston was as bad per se as they looked during their recent skid, and now they're back playing some good solid baseball, and it's going to be tough for Oakland to catch them, I think.
You bring up the Rays. If Luis Severino and Blake Snell are both on the board, who are you going for?
I'm taking Snell.
I am too. He's really good.
I like
man.
What I'm seeing. You know what?
Yeah.
He's pounding the strike zone. He's not nibbling. He's going after people, and he's got the stuff to do it. And, you know, you look at all the problems he had last year, back and forth between the minors and the big league roster, and he was nibbling. He wasn't throwing strikes. He wasn't trusting his stuff. He's trusting his stuff. He's got the confidence, and the stuff supports what he's doing. So when in doubt, I really like Blake Snell. And there's a good possibility I'll have him ranked higher than Severino next year.
I agree with you, Timmy. We're going to go for a quick break. And if you wouldn't mind calling back in, you're breaking up a lot. And when we get back, we'll hopefully get the great Tim McCloud back.
Sounds good, Rich.
And we are back. Tim's having a little bit of technical issues. I apologize, everybody. I know he's breaking up a lot, but, you know, this is what happens with live radio. And maybe today we should have done a offline radio, but, hey, it is what it is. So Tim is back. So, Timmy, let's talk about the Dodgers.
Yes, the Dodgers. The team with one of the best closers in the game. That Dodgers?
Yeah, that's Dodgers, except he's not been good since he's come back from his heart ailment. I mean, is this just – I mean, should fantasy owners be worried about Kenley Jansen? It's been ugly.
Yeah, it has really, really been ugly. And the Dodgers can't afford to lose any more close games. The only thing is they don't really have a plan B, do they?
They don't. I mean, and, you know, the trading deadline here, you can't trade anymore after 4 days, and I don't know if there's any closers that are out there. I mean, maybe they can get Mark Melanson. He's closed a couple of games. I mean, he's no good either. So, I mean, I don't know what they do to me. That bullpen has been a problem for 3 years now, and they could always count on Jansen, and all of a sudden, now they can't.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. I don't have an answer. I think, you know, the Dodgers' big mistake this year could be ignoring that segment of the game, and it could come back to bite them because, you know, most teams, as they were heading down into July, were looking at filling their bullpens as much. They look at Oakland, you know, picking up Rodney and, you know, Familia, and the Dodgers sat back and built on their offense, and that could prove to be their Achilles heel this year.
I agree with you, Timmy. And, yeah, you know, you begin to wonder now that Clayton Kershaw is getting a little older. I know he's a Dodger. He was, you know, brought up through the Dodger organization. The Yankees, though, are going to have a ton of money. Let's face it, the Yankees have a better team than the Dodgers. And would Clayton Kershaw ever leave the Dodgers? Because he can opt out of his contract next season. Do you think he'd ever leave the Dodgers to go play for the hated Yankees?
No, I don't think so, Rich. He's got $65 million coming to him over the next 2 years. His ties are on the West Coast. Family, all of his charity funds, everything is geared to L.A. I think he's happy there. And I don't think he's the type of player that would say, I could get $66 million, so I'm going to forgive the $65 million. I just don't see that happening. I think yeah. Kershaw is a Dodger till the end of this contract, and probably longer.
Now, let me poke on that because I agree. I don't think it's probably a money thing with him because he's got more money than God does at this juncture and can get paid wherever he goes. But I would think he'd want to win. And at some point, are the Dodgers ever going to win? I mean, they it's kind of a strangely constructed team. It is really Clayton Kershaw as their true superstar. Yeah, you got Corey Seager who's got a chance to be a superstar. Bellinger, maybe. We talked about this last week with having all these stars, but the Yankees have got like a made-to-order potential superstar team going, and now they can add a bunch of players and a Manny Machado or Bryce Harper and you know Clayton Kershaw, and I think it could be an intriguing kind of option for a guy who maybe wants to win a title.
When you look at what the Dodgers are doing, it's not for lack of trying, and I don't envision with the money that organization has to spend that all of a sudden they're going to quit trying. So I don't think that really influences the decision either. I think they've made some decisions that, you know, like this year, I think they should have beefed up the bullpen and they didn't. That could come back to bite them, but I don't see Kershaw as wanting to rush to New York to get himself a title when the Dodgers are doing, I believe, a heck of a job of trying to do it in the West Coast. So I don't think there's any big advantage there. And you know, hey, the Yankees, for all that offense, and they could break the home run record this year, they're still lacking in pitching.
Yeah, that's why I thought thus my argument, Timmy, that's made the Clayton Kershaw. I bet you, I think you're right, Timmy. I'm just trying to poke and see if, you know, have a dialogue about this. I bet you they go hard after Clayton Kershaw this year. I bet you they go, that seems like a Yankee move, right? An older player, established, a superstar. It has all the markings of a guy they would want to bring in. Because, I mean, they brought guys like that. I mean, the Randy Johnsons of the world. They brought all those kind of players in the past. And that's why I was making the argument. I bet you they go hard after him. I doubt he goes, but I bet you they go hard after him. I bet you that's going to be a topic this year.
I'm betting they look at the Orioles, Rich, and they go hard after Kikuchi out of Japan.
Timmy, you got to give it up with these Japanese pitchers. They always get hurt. Come on.
Well, I know. Michaelis is having a horrible year, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's not He's not Tanaka and all these other guys. I know Tanaka's been able to hang in there, but the Ohtani's has killed me. And you know, I've got Michael Kopech. Remember, I made that trade, Michael Kopech for. I traded Michael Kopech, and the guy gave me the first pick in a dynasty league, and I picked up Shohei Ohtani, and I felt guilty for making that move. And I bet you next year does Michael Kopech outpitch Shohei Ohtani? Does he even pitch enough, or is he going to be under the knife? I mean, I feel like I got suckered in that one.
No, I don't think you got suckered. It was just an unfortunate situation. I think Ohtani healthy is a better pitcher than Kopech. What it takes to get him healthy, that's another story.
I don't know. I mean, Kopech, when I saw him 2 weeks ago, he looked great. I've seen him a bunch of times. He looked terrible at the beginning of the season. Clearly got his stuff together. Timmy, he looked good this week. He pitched twice, and again, the first thing got rained out, his first ever got rained out, but he pitched okay yesterday.
He pitched fine. The only big concern I have with Kopech moving forward, and it's the innings and when they're going to put a stop on it. Right now, his high was last year at 134 and a third innings pitch. This year, he is at 134 and a third right now. I'm sort of thinking 2 to 3 starts out of Kopech. You got to have him rostered. You got to have him going. But do you see anything more than 2 to 3 starts out of Kopech heading into September? Being that every inning pitched is a new horizon for the kid.
I was going to say over under at 2, so I'm right there with you, Timmy. I don't see that going much past this week. I think it would be stupid. I mean, the White Sox have absolutely nothing to play for. They've given 2, 3, 4 starts in the major leagues. Let him get his feet wet and let him spend most of September hanging out in the clubhouse and getting comfortable with the game. I mean, he'll be eligible for Rookie of the Year next year because that time doesn't count in September. It'll burn his service time, but White Sox are a rich team, so they can do it. But he's gonna give you more pitching value. Well, I probably won't. Well, the rest of the way because Ohtani's not going to pitch at all.
Yeah, it doesn't look that way. I think he threw another bullpen, but I don't think they're going to take any chances with Ohtani. He'll continue to pitch on the side, but no, over the bounce, I'll take 2-3 starts out of Kopech right now, Rich. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and again, I'm not going to do a steak and liquor bet on this, but I'm not as confident any longer based on what I've seen this year with Kopech. And again, I've been all over the place on Kopech. I'm no longer confident that Ohtani will outpitch Kopech over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. What happens if the Angels decide to put Ohtani into the pen as their closer? There's a lot of interesting combinations that could occur.
That'd be fascinating. I'd love to see Ohtani get out of. I'd like to see him almost be a full-time batter and be a closer. That'd be kind of interesting because he might be able to pull that off more than being a starting pitcher. That's actually an interesting idea.
Yeah, you could have him DHing first base, whatever, and they just slide him over into the pitcher's slot in the ninth inning, right?
Yeah, I kind of like that. That's old school, man. That's Little League stuff. I like it. Hey, let's go back to closers, Timmy. Let's see, Kenley Jansen. I'm guessing number one, number two closer taken. Corey Knebel is in the minor leagues. He was the number 5th closer taken. And Aroldis Chapman was either number 1 or 2 pitcher closer taken. He's out with knee tendonitis. First of all, I haven't heard a time frame. I mean, it could be ugly here the rest of the season for Aroldis Chapman owners.
Well, I don't think they're going to be in any hurry to rush him back. I think he had a shock for the knee, and Chapman owners, it could be ugly because they want him for the playoffs, and they're not going to do anything to damage that opportunity. And let's face it, they got Robertson and they got Batons. They got enough arms in their bullpen.
Got Zach Britton too. Remember Zach Britton? Remember 50 saves a couple of years ago.
Well, yeah, they, And, you know, they've got at least 3-4 potential guys that can work the ninth inning and not hurt them. They're not going to rush Chapman back. They want him for the playoffs, and rightfully so. Unfortunately, Chapman owners, I wouldn't expect many saves in September.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think you mentioned three guys, Timmy, that I don't think there's going to be a specific closer.
No, I don't think so either. You know, they had Robertson on Sunday. I think, you know, hey, depending on what the matchup's looking like in the ninth, you could see Britton in there. You could see, you know, Dylan Betances, after a really rough start, has looked really, really good. I think he's the Yankees' best pitcher, relief pitcher right now. And he's going to get some save opportunities. It'll be spread out all over the place, I think, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, Betances, we've been through this before, Timmy. He can look lights out, and all of a sudden the mechanics and a 6'8" frame mechanics get out of whack, and he's terrible. So, I mean, hopefully that's been solved, but that's the only thing that scares me with him.
Yeah, and I think it's a legitimate concern, but right now he's looking like the Betances of old, so that bodes well for Yankees and their fans.
It looked completely stupid to me when the Cubs signed Daniel Murphy. I mean, from a pure baseball standpoint, I mean, they got 25 guys that can play the infield. I mean, why on earth would they need another guy? But the one thing that the Chicago Cubs cannot do, and that is consistently get on base and hit. I mean, they don't have those kinds of players. I mean, Javier Baez has turned out to be a superstar this year, but Addison Russell is not that kind of player. Chris Bryant is still not back. I think it was a brilliant move by the Cubs because they needed a guy, Timmy, that could hit and could get on base. And he doesn't seem like the kind of player that you'd bat at the top of the lineup, but, you know, that's what they're going to do. And I think he's going to be a difference maker from a baseball standpoint, offensive standpoint in Chicago. And I know he can't play defense, and they'll substitute him out in the seventh inning. I think Daniel Murphy is going to be a big contributor to the Cubs the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think he is too. And it just reinforces my opinion on looking at fantasy players out of the Cubs next year, because there aren't going to be a whole lot I'm going to really look to owning, simply because who knows what Joe Maddon's going to do on any single given day. And like I said, this move might help the Cubs, but it's not helping fantasy owners. And sorry, Rich, it's got to be about me at some point, right?
Yeah, and I just compare the Cubs and what the Brewers did. And the Brewers, they're basically the same spot. They've got eight guys for three spots. But I just think they're going to – Murphy can hit. Jonathan Scope cannot. I mean, he's a nice player. He's got way more offensive pop than Daniel Murphy. He's a way better second baseman, but – I mean, Daniel Murphy, you throw him in anywhere. I mean, the fact is he makes, you know, Altuvian type of contact. He's always going to be battling up there, and that's the kind of player that you want. And I know he's as old as the hills, but I just thought it was a really, really good. It was that Ben Zobrist move that they did a couple of years ago that won the World Series. I wouldn't be surprised if they make some noise here in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Cole Hamels is looking like a brilliant acquisition. Got him out of Texas. And Hamels is absolutely pitching lights out. And I think Hamels will be more of a key for the Cubs than Murphy. Not to downgrade Murphy's contributions, but let's face it, with, you know, Hendricks and Quintana and John Lester struggling in the second half, that rotation needed a big boost. And Cole Hamels is the delivery.
Hey, just by the way, kind of stoke our chest a little bit, Timmy. We nailed that John Lester. Told everybody that there was a correction coming, and we're seeing it. And it's not the same guy. He was never as good as he was shown in the first half, and that correction started. And I agree with you. Cole Hamels is what they thought Yu Darvish was going to be. And Yu Darvish is not going to pitch the rest of this year. So Cole Hamels is going to be have a chance to do some real impact. And let's face it, the National League is wide open. I mean, the Cubs are just every bit as good as the Braves and Phillies and Nationals. They're not going to make it. And the Dodgers, I mean, there is no dominant team in that National League, and they could win. They could go to the World Series just as easily as somebody else. And I don't think, Timmy, you or I or anybody else knows who's going to make it to the World Series. It is wide open there.
Yeah, there's 7 or 8 teams in the NL that all have a legitimate shot. And once you get into the playoffs, who knows what's going to happen from there. Right now, there is only one team in baseball that's got a clear path to the division title and the playoffs, and that's the Cleveland Indians.
Well, wait a minute. I think the Red Sox, I think that's pretty locked, Tim. Like, you think the Yankees can catch them?
Well, I think it's possible for the you know, hey, the Red Sox have they've got a playoff spot, but it doesn't mean they're going to win their division. I still think there's only one team right now that's got the division locked up, and that's Cleveland. They're 13 up. I think the Dodgers' lead is down to, what, 4 or 5, something like that?
I don't even think
four games up.
I think the Dodgers are in third place. So Arizona is up by one. Yeah, Arizona's up by one. Colorado's next, one down. And Dodgers are 2.5 down. They're like fifth or sixth in the wild card at the moment. They're not playing well.
Well, no, and look at Milwaukee and St. Louis has only lost, you know, 3-4 games in August. There's like 7 or 8 teams that could all make that all have the potential to make the playoffs right now in the NL. It's going to be an amazing September in the NL, definitely.
Yeah, just looking at it, you're right. The Red Sox are still up by 6, but they lost 3. The Yankees won 4. Boy, after the weekend, it looks a whole lot different than it did going into Friday night.
Well, yeah, and you know, hey, you can have a 6-game lead and lose it in September. That's, you know, that it's not out of the realm of possibility. It really is.
You gotta, if you're a fantasy baseball fan like we are, Timmy, you have to hate the fact that Tampa Bay is 70-61 and that stupid pitching thing that they've got going on, because if that catches hold, that's going to – I might retire from fantasy baseball, Timmy, because that's going to really make life very, very difficult.
It's going to make it challenging. Your long guys are going to take on some serious value. And you know what? For a guy who has been trying for the past 15 years to get the middle reliever more value, it might be coming true. So I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have wished for as much as I have an increase in value in those middle relievers. But when you look at guys like Chironas, Yarbrough, it's going to be fun to see where they're drafted next year if Tampa Bay continues the model that they've went with.
Yeah, but it's like the Tyler Glasnows and the Jalen Beeks. They're getting the 4 or 5 innings in there as kind of the starter in that. That you can't even have like a bullpen, because the guy who starts the game, does he get anything? I mean, he doesn't have a chance to win the game. He doesn't have a chance to get a hold. I mean, what is he? He's just a burned resource.
Yeah, but he could lead the league in game starts, so we might see a change in category.
That's true. It's really going to make life difficult. I mean, it's been. I think fantasy baseball has gotten a lot more challenging over the last few years with, you know, with all the home runs changing. There's no speed in the game anymore. And now we've got all the 10-day DL instead of the 15-day. It's really – no wonder people are listening to our show, Timmy. It's hard. You need people like us to talk about it. Not like we have all the answers, but at least we're talking about it and giving people ideas. It has gotten much more difficult.
Well, and the one thing that's remained constant during this whole change in the game is the fact that there aren't enough good starting pitchers out there, and too many of them get hurt.
Yeah, good luck trying to solve that. Timmy, my last comment is Kendrys Morales, and I dropped Kendrys Morales in a team this year, and clearly that was a mistake. I know he made your waiver wire several weeks ago. He's hit 7 home runs in 7 games. I think he's going for the major league record tonight, or tie for the major league. This is Kendrys Morales. Has this guy become relevant again?
Yeah, right now. Each and every year we see Morales go on a tear. I commend you, Rich, because you gave up on him and cut him in May. I had him sitting on my bench last week in labor. Ask me how happy I am.
Oh, jeez. Are you going to play him this week?
Yeah, I'm hoping that I end up with the first home run of the streak and the last home run of the streak tonight. And at least it'll give me some consolation. But, you know, you look at what happened going into this week, and there was no clue this was going to happen. Granderson was taking some at-bats from him. He wasn't playing full-time. So you make the move, and you sit him, and Kendrys Morales goes off. It's just one of those things that you don't know. He usually does, but how do you go about rostering a guy like that who's not playing full-time? And, you know, it's one of those things in the game. If you had him going last week, I commend you. I salute you. It must have been a deep league for that to be warranted. But, hey, take advantage of those numbers while he's posting them, because he will turn back into Kendrys Morales sometime. You know, it's inevitable.
I will say, Timmy, it made me feel better, because I think that's worse. Rostering him this long and then sitting him for all that's worse than me cutting him in May. So I thank you for making me feel better.
You're welcome, Rich. I'm here to provide that significant boost to you, and I'm glad it worked.
Okay. Timmy, when we get back, we're going to hit your waiver wire and then call it a night or call it a day.
Sounds good.
Timmy's waiver wire might have been small, but Timmy has some really good names in it. The first guy is Greg Allen, who has been on fire for the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, he certainly has. You know, he's been back and forth between Cleveland and Columbus off and on all year. But since the beginning of August, he's stuck. And he's, you know, for those that picked him up in deep leagues, rostered him, 7 stolen bases in August, and he's playing every day. So go get Greg Allen if you need a boost in your stolen base numbers.
Yeah, Timmy's always been a big fan of Greg Allen. I think he's a fourth outfielder, but fourth outfielder Timmy can even get on runs like this and become relevant, and that's what he's become, in my opinion. Melky Cabrera actually playing okay as well. He got, you know, tough year for Melky Cabrera, but he's actually been contributing for the Indians as well.
Well, yeah, and you know what? We're down to 5 weeks left. The end is upon us. Anything that you can do that gives you the opportunity to pick up points, hey, go out and do it. Melky Cabrera is another example of a player that right now is hot. And if you need an outfielder, yeah, give him a look.
Tell us why Jose Alvarado is on this list, Tim.
Because he's pitching real well, really well. And you know, since they moved column A, there was some debate as to who was get the job. I thought Alvarado was qualified right off the bat. They went with Sergio Romo, but right now Alvarado settled into the eighth inning. He's getting the odd save opportunity and he's converting. His numbers are outstanding, and anybody playing in a dynasty league, if he's available, go get him, roster him, put him in your minors, put him on your bench. I am really bullish on Jose Alvarado heading into next year. I don't think Romo's going to be back. I don't think the Rays are going to pay a 36-year-old closer the money that that 36-year-old closer is going to want to get, and I think Alvarado's ready. So I'm very bullish in dynasty formats. Go get him.
Great advice, Timmy. I completely agree with the great advice. Jay Bruce, Tim, he probably epitomizes the woes of the Mets. Really good players, but most of those players are on the DL, and Jay Bruce has pretty much been on the disabled list when it's really counted.
Yeah, he has, but you know what? He's only owned in 33% of the leagues out there. If you're looking for an opportunity to boost your home run numbers, hey, Bruce has a pretty solid history of hitting the long ball, and it's worth a look. He hit one in his first game back. I could see the potential for Bruce hitting 5 to 7 home runs in September. If that matters and counts, give him a look.
Y.N. Chen, Timmy, this is the second time I've seen his name on there. Again, Timmy loves the Asians. You're still trying to pimp him up here, Timmy. You really think this guy's worth an ad?
Well, you know, the thing that amazed me about Chen, and I don't know if you read the clip, but you look at the – the surface numbers, 4.91 ERA, 1.37 WHIP, doesn't look all that good, but he's got to have the craziest home road splits I have ever seen, Rich. You know, 1.86 ERA at home in 11 starts, 9.35 on the road. Hey, if you can pick him up for his home starts down the stretch, have at him.
Yeah, I'd okay. So I must have only played him when he's on the road, so because he had a couple of good years, but okay. Tim knows all, folks. So go out and grab him.
Yeah, don't play him on the road, folks. Stay away from that. It's ugly.
Brad Keller, Tim, with Kansas City. We were on the air when somebody else who was out there with Kansas City was playing. But anyway, Brad Keller, you're saying a 4-5 August starts is allowed 2 or less earned runs. Does Kansas City actually have something here with Keller?
I think they do. And heading into next year, he's going to be one of those pitchers I target as a number 5-6. I like what I'm seeing out of the kid, and he's young enough that I think we can possibly see some improvement.
You also have Kendrys Morales, which we've talked about, and Tyler White with the Astros. Been good, Timmy. 5 home runs, 15 RBIs, and 1,100 OPS over the last few games. So definitely Tyler White looking like making some noise there.
Yeah, you know, he's getting semi-regular, almost regular playing time right now, and he's hot. Take a look at what he's done in the month of August, and it's outstanding. And you know what? Until he cools off, they're going to wheel him out there every day. And I just think there's an opportunity there, being that he's only owned to 10%, to possibly better yourself in the home run RBI numbers.
Yeah, another Tyler, Timmy, that's been nice. I haven't checked what his ownership is. Tyler Austin, the former Yankee, now with the Minnesota Twins. 2 home runs yesterday. He's actually played okay over the last few weeks.
Yeah, he has played very, very well, Rich. I think I recommended him last week, so that's why I didn't go 2 weeks in a row. Definitely Austin. He's playing well, and if he's a free agent, go get him. That's one of the problems this week was I recommended so many either last week or the week before. I virtually ran out of players this week. And when you get into September call-ups, it's real dicey. It's, you know, it's nice to see these players getting called up in September. But if they're not going to play on a regular basis, or they're not going to play, like, you know, if you get starters called up that are going to work out of the bullpen, how much value do they have in our game?
That's a great point, Timmy. Totally great point. I agree. I'm assuming we'll be talking call-ups next week and trying to figure out who we should pick up and who we should not. I'm guessing you've got 1, maybe 2 more weeks of your waiver wire, and then that's it.
Well, I'm thinking, Rich, that this might be the grand finale, because we're into September next week and down to 4 weeks. And from here on in, it sort of turns into a free-for-all. You know, grab your hot hitters. Be very careful with September call-ups that these guys are in effect going to play and going to contribute to your teams. But I'm thinking we've pretty well reached the end of the road as far as the waiver wire is concerned. And I want to thank all our listeners and all the people heading over to p361.com for their support this year and reading the articles. It's been a lot of fun. And good Lord willing, we'll be back with more next spring, Rich.
Yeah, that'd be great, Timmy. And you did a marvelous job. So next week we'll be back on Sunday evening. Timmy, I believe Sunday works for me. I'll actually be at the beach on Sunday, but I should be good to go. If you're good to go, we will pick it back up at 9 o'clock on Sunday evening.
Sounds good to me, Rich. I'm not being world traveler for a few weeks now, so Sunday works just great.
This retirement team seems to be agreeing with you. You're doing a lot of going back and forth, seeing family, and going watching baseball games in Minnesota, and you've been having fun.
Yeah, you know, it's the summer sort of started off slow, but lots of birthdays. I've been doing lots of traveling, spending lots of time with family in the past month, and it has been absolutely great, Rich. And they treat me like $1 million. They overfeed me. What more could one want, right?
It's all about the food, Timmy. When you get our age, it's all about the food. So, and with that, we will catch you next Sunday. Everybody, good luck with your drafts. If you need us, I'm on Twitter at RichWilsonP361. And go get the great Tim McLeod, Timothy McLeod, McLeod. He's out on Facebook, and you can find him. And we'll answer as many questions as we can. Right, Tim?
Sounds good to me, Rich. Always available to answer questions from our listeners.
Okay, take care, everyone.
Be well, my friend.
Be well.